when you do and quit, the fact that you have a mountain-sized problem be something that that causes you to want to quit. If everybody quit because they had a mountain-sized problem, nobody'd be doing anything ever. We'd all just be sitting around looking at each other. And I'll just be honest with you, there are places in the world where that's happening. People say, well, the mountain's just too big. I can't do anything about it. And they're just sitting there looking at each other. And that's why things don't get better. And people can blame other people because things don't get better. Blaming somebody else because something doesn't get better doesn't change anything. Until you decide to get up and deal with it yourself, it is never going to change. The mountain can stand there and look at you and laugh at you and make you feel hopeless, and you can let it if you want to. Or you can do what God tells us to do in the Bible and deal with it. I mean, I can do something about it. Well, Jesus said we can. In verse 22 of Mark chapter 11, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, we have talked for, this is week number 8 now, we've been talking about this, and I could go through an extensive review on all this, and it would probably do some of you very well. I mean, a lot of you haven't been here for the whole thing. Some of you have been here for all 8 sessions. I will say this, Wednesday night, we did a bonus session on this, and if you didn't come to church on Wednesday night, you missed it. We did like a little extra bonus teaching along these lines, but we still recorded it for you so you can have it. You can obviously pick up the CDs out there in the lobby, or you can get it on your phone. Click on the... I'm floored. In the last week or so, I'm floored that people look at me and go, you mean when you say we have a church app, we really have a church app? Do y'all think I'm just saying that for giggles? We actually have an app in the App Store on Google Play or iTunes that you can download to your phone, and it's the Direction Church app. And you go, well, what's it called? Well, it's called Direction Church. Inside that app, it allows you to have all kinds of things that you interact with us through. Okay? And inside there is a video archive and an audio archive inside that, and you can watch and relive or listen to and relive every one of the messages. Okay? And so if you want to go back and listen to anything we've been talking about for the last 8 weeks, or as I called it Wednesday night, 7 bonus or 7B, you can do that in the app. Now, if you want the CD, you can go out there and get it in the lobby out there. Those are free of charge. We don't charge people for that. But we don't like to do an extensive review, but I do feel like we need to cover up a few things. Everything that grace has given us freely, we have to receive it by faith. If you think that the blessings of God are just going to drop into your life like ripe cherries off of a tree, how's that working out for you so far? It's not just going to happen. On the flip side, everything that does come isn't God's will for your life. It's not. Okay? You have to receive things by faith. And I'm going to say this is why I'm reviewing, because I felt like I needed to say this. The things that you are receiving in your life right now is because you're receiving them by faith. Well, wait a minute. I don't like everything I got in my life. You still received it by faith. What? I don't remember praying and asking God for that. I don't remember receiving and like, yeah, you did. You didn't pray and ask God for it, but as soon as it started to show some kind of symptom of coming, you said, oh my God, I think I've got this. Or, oh my God, this is going to happen to me. Oh my God, I have this. And what'd you do? You spoke to the mountain, and you just took a big concrete trunk over there and just poured concrete on it and just made it stronger. And made it show up in your life. Y'all are looking at me awful strange right now. It's truth. okay? I think it's Brother Copeland. Brother Copeland says this, the seeds you are harvesting today were planted by the words of your mouth yesterday. Well, I didn't do anything to have somebody treat me that way. Yeah, you did. You did. Well, I just don't remember it. Of course you don't remember it. We all like to forget those times where we beat our brother up. Come on. We all like to forget the times where we talked really bad to somebody and sowed a seed of something in somebody else's life. We all like to forget the times in our lives when we were young and stupid and made mistakes. We all like to forget those. But it's truth. A lot of things that this is why I try not to get upset with a lot of people, because I know somewhere down the line I probably sowed that seed that I'm reaping it. So it's partially my fault when things happen to me. This is a bad place to get quiet. See, if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but what I'm telling you is a spiritual law. It's truth. You sow it, you receive it. But now here's the great thing about it. God knows we're not perfect. God knows that we are incapable of doing everything 100% right. And where some people will tell you, well, you know, you did that, so you just now have to live with it. No, if we had to live with it, what was the point of Jesus coming and dying for it? Come on, somebody. When you get redeemed, now listen to me. I don't need you to amen me better than that. What was the point? Listen, if you are redeemed by Jesus' blood in your life, if you're redeemed, come on, that means you don't have to pay for it anymore. And you don't have to keep it living in your life, and you don't have to allow it to keep going in your life, and you don't have to allow it to keep manifest. Come on, somebody. You don't have to allow that to keep going in your life. There is hope for you. There is an opportunity for you to move those things out of your life. You know, my grass is flourishing now, finally. I'm pretty sure everybody's is. It's almost like it's too far the other way. Almost like you got to get out a bush hog and a machete to go out into your front yard. I mean, sometimes I wouldn't see my lawn guys for our neighborhood for about 8 or 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. I see them about every 4 days now. But I had gone out there and sowed grass in seed because I had big giant bare spots from where we had that dry spell for so long. It was just killed my grass, just killed it. And you know, the laws in Polk County don't allow you to run your sprinklers as much as, you know, probably up in Windermere they are allowed 24/7, 365, as long as you want. You know, you have to in order. You know, out there they say 2 days a week. That's it. That's all you can run it. So I mean, my yard suffered, and I went out there and sowed that grass seed in there, and it didn't do any good. Didn't do any good. It sat there, and so I could see it sitting on top of that hard, dusty ground. And so I got a little pokey things, and I poked holes in it, and walked around with the shoes, the spikes on it, and tried to get the ground to open up to take that seed in there. And you know what? No. The ones you strap on where the spikes are like this long. You know, and I tried to get it to go get down in there, and you know what? It didn't do any good. And just because, listen to me, just because we have sown seed that has caused things to happen in our life, doesn't mean it has to stay. You can become, now get this, you can become unfertile ground for negative seed. You can become unfertile ground for negative seed. Things that you've sown even. You can say, you know what? That's not going to grow in my life. I've changed. I'm not that person anymore. I'm changing directions. Somebody else says something about you. Guess what? I'm unfertile ground. That's not going to take root in my life. Oh, the economy's bad. Not going to affect me. Who do you think you are, child of God? Well, you're a loser. You come from a family of losers. I'm not. Can't speak for the rest of my family. I love them to death, and I wish you wouldn't talk about them like that, but I'm not. I'm unfertile when it comes to that kind of talk. That doesn't affect me. Come on now. Even seeds you sown yourself. Lord, I know I did that. Forgive me. Just pull that up and let that go somewhere else. I'm not that person. I'm unfertile when it comes to negative seeds. Come on, it doesn't grow in my life. That's not in my notes, but I ain't taking it back. We said there's two different kinds of faith, Abraham's faith and Thomas's faith. Thomas believes it when he sees it. I got something I'm going to show you today. It's going to blow your mind when it comes to that. And Abraham's seed, who believes it regardless. Abraham's faith, I mean. All right? Then we said to you, faith must be released, and it is released by the words that come out of your mouth. Brother Hagin said, saying is three times more important than the believing. We talked about, what do I say then? What do I need to confess? Well, once you know what God has to say about your mountains, then you need to speak out your authority over those mountains, and then you need to speak what God says is true over yourself. Now, do we have the sheets, Joe? Did we bring them? We do. Okay. Now, we're not going to do it right now, but before you leave today, pick up one of these confession sheets. I went through great pain and agony and suffering. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. We made these sheets for you that have a list of confessions. Now, listen, this isn't everything the Word says about you. It's just some of them. It's a front and a back, and you ought to start speaking these over your life every day. And just start with these. Well, what do they say? Well, you know, I mean, they say you're really good looking, and no. It says, Nanny says, I already know that. It says what the Word has to say about you. And so pick you up one of those before you leave. Put it on your mirror when you're getting dressed in the morning or in the bathroom, or put it on the refrigerator or whatever. Don't just let it be something that collects dust. Get it out and start saying it. Start saying what God's Word has to say about you, all right? Then we said to you, speaking what God says about you, once you belong to Christ, causes the things that you're saying to be built into your life. But a negative confession will cause God's power not to work in your life. Then we ended last week with what's the difference between faith and hope. Hope gives the desire for good things. Faith gives the substance for those good things. All right? If you want something and you say, man, I sure do hope I get that, that's good. That's a good place to be. But if that's all you ever do, then you're not ever going to have it. And this is why so many people don't have it. All they're doing is sitting around hoping. And hoping is like a wish. When you wish upon a star. Okay, that's all good and great and wonderful in the Disney movies, but that doesn't work here. It might work every now and then. That's why we're always unsure. But faith makes us sure because God said so. And it's not based on what I hope happens. It's based on what he said. All right? So that's where we are. You're caught up as good as I can get you. All right? Now, a lot of people that we hear, we hear them talking about, they'll speak out their authority. They'll actually say it. A lot of people say, I know I have authority over that. And a lot of people will speak out that what they believe. Okay? They believe that, you know, it is God's will for, I know it's God's will for me to be healed, but I don't understand why I'm not. They'll say all kinds of things. People will say, they'll speak out, I command this to go, and they'll speak out, you know, I know God's will is for me to have this or be this or whatever. And it's those two things are the first part of your confession. That's great, but that is not enough. That is not all you're supposed to be speaking. That is not where it ends. And this is the one that most people have the most problem with, what we're going to talk about today. This is where people stumble right here. This is where people have a hard time and they go, how? And here it is. It's not enough to speak about what God says about you. You have to believe that you receive right now. And that means you have to speak that this is mine now. And where people have a problem with it is, yeah, but it's not. I mean, you say that and you go, I believe I receive and it's mine right now, but yet my hands are still empty. I mean, I've still got a tumor. I mean, you say it's mine right now, but, and all of us can live there all day long. But I want you to notice what Jesus says here, okay? In verse 24, he actually makes this statement. He says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. Now, when are you asking? When you pray. Are you asking when you ask when you pray, okay? Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now, when do you believe you receive them? Not when they show up. You believe you receive when you pray. What does that mean? I have it now. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you're following along in the Direction Church app, which I still can't believe people thought I was joking about that. You click on service scriptures, and it'll pull up everything from today. Everything you're going to need today. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. And this is a huge, huge, huge three-letter word at the beginning of this scripture. And I want you to look at it. Now. Now, some of you are looking at the screen today. That's one of the stories I could tell you that could line up to iDrive. We've had technical problems all morning long. So don't look at the screens. All you lazy people, don't bring your Bibles to church. Pastor, please don't say that. I'm joking. All right, I don't bring mine either. I mean, usually. No, I do. But that's why we got the app, too. Okay? But look what it says there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now look at that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now. Now. Not when it shows up. Listen, if it shows up, you don't have to believe it anymore. You don't need faith for something that shows up. You have knowledge now. Now faith is. Faith believes and says things that look like they aren't as though they are the way God says they are. Okay? This is Abraham's faith. This is how it works. The faith that pleases God. The faith in which we are to live by, to walk by, to quench the fiery darts of the enemy by, is by saying, I receive it now. But Pastor, it isn't. It isn't. It isn't now. Well, then you don't believe it. So therefore your faith, come on now, your faith isn't there. Okay? It isn't. Look at this. It's this way. Let me tell you what that is. That is walking by sight. And if you remember week one, I read to you the scripture, for we walk, come on now, by faith and not by sight. Faith is believing what God says, even though it looks like something else. Faith can look at something and go, I see that you're huge and massive and can kill me. Come on, somebody. And can take everything I have and cause me to live in a cardboard box underneath of a bridge or in a van down by the river. Come on, somebody. I know. I see you. I see you. Okay? Faith can look at that and go, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Faith can look at that and go, by the stripes of Jesus, come on, I am healed. Come on. Faith can look at a big mountain of depression and say, the joy of the Lord, come on, is my strength. Come on. We can look at the worst of the worst when we're in faith and say, okay, I see you. Dog, I see you. But still, I don't believe you. Okay? I'm going to show you a video right now, I hope. Did we get it? All right, we're having trouble this morning, but we figured it out. All right. All right, wait. All right. Now, I'm telling you, if you will watch and listen to what they're telling you, this is going to blow your mind, because this is going to prove to you how much what you see can be tricked. And it's not a magic trick. Trust me. All right, let's try it.
Our brains do a remarkable job of making sense of it all.
Turn it up way loud then.
It seems easy enough to separate the sounds we hear from the sights we see. But there is one illusion that reveals this isn't always the case.
Start it over.
Bah.
At any one moment, we are being bombarded by sensory information. Our brains do a remarkable job of making sense of it all. It seems easy enough to separate the sounds we hear from the sights we see. But there is one illusion that reveals this isn't always the case.
Ba, ba, ba.
Have a look at this. Ba, what do you hear?
Ba, ba.
What do you hear? Like a sheep, right?
Ba.
All right.
Ba.
You're ready. Your mind's going to blow right now.
But look what happens when we change the picture.
Ba, ba, ba.
What are you hearing?
Ba. Ba,
with an F?
Ba,
everybody hearing that?
Ba,
listen.
And yet, the sound hasn't changed. In every clip, you are only ever hearing ba with a B.
If you don't believe it, close your eyes and listen.
Ba.
It's an illusion known as the McGurk effect.
Ba.
Take another look.
Ba.
Concentrate first on the right of the screen.
Ba.
Now to the left of the screen.
Ba, ba,
the illusion occurs
ba,
because what we
see
clashes
ba,
with what
ba,
you are hearing.
Ba. In the illusion, what we see overrides what we hear. So the mouth movements we see as we look at a face can actually influence what we believe we're hearing. If we close our eyes, we actually hear the sound as it is. If we open our eyes, we actually see how the mouth movements can influence what we're hearing. Ba, ba, ba.
It's a bizarre effect. Ba, ba, remember, the only ba, sound you're hearing is ba,
ba
with a B.
Ba, 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 ba.
What's remarkable about ba, this illusion ba, is even knowing ba, how it's done doesn't ba, seem to make a difference.
Ba, ba. The effect works no matter how much you know about the effect. I've been studying the McGurk effect for 25 years now, and I've been the face in the stimuli. I've seen stimuli thousands and thousands of times, but the effect still works on me. I can't help it. The speech brain just takes in that information and doesn't care about what outside knowledge you bring to bear. Ba, 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 ba.
The McGurk ba, effect shows us ba, that what we hear may not ba, always be the truth.
Ba, ba,
but it also helps us ba, to understand what ba, happens ba, when our senses conflict.
Ba, ba, ba. When the brain has the conflicting information, it tries to make sense of that conflict. And depending on what type of modality is providing more, I guess, salient information, that information might override or at least combine with the other information.
So we can't always trust what we hear, because sometimes our sense of vision takes over, enabling us to maintain a coherent view of the world.
Does anybody need Tylenol? Because your head hurts? I mean, that is amazing. And I don't know how many times I've watched this video where I sit and just close my eyes and I don't ever hear the fa, fa, fa with the F. Ever. Why? Because my eyes are not involved in this. And this is where so many people sit and look at their problem. Come on, and look at that mountain. And they stop hearing what God says, and they start hearing what the mountain's telling them he's saying. If your circumstances are telling you one thing, and God's word is telling you something else, God is pleased when we believe him more than what we see. And if he said it, come on, it's not future, it's now. It's now. Well, how can you say that? Well, listen to me. If he didn't say it, then this whole thing has to fly apart. Because all of this is based on what he said. Remember what we said to you last week? When he created everything, all he did was speak words. So if he didn't say it, and it's not now, then we can't be standing on the matter, come on, that we're walking around on. So if he said it, it's now, or else we're not here. This is non-existent. This is all based on what God said. So if he said it, it's now. Brother Hagin said this, if it's not now, then you're not in faith. Now, let me say this because a lot of people get confused when you talk like that. It's not talking about the manifestation now. It's talking about you possessing it now, regardless if it's manifesting or not. What does manifesting mean? Showing up here, like putting your hands on it. All right? How can it be now, if my circumstances are doing a great job of the McGurk effect on me? Now, it's look what he says. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever you ask, you must have a strong opinion that you have possessed now, or you have received them. That word received means this: to grasp, to seize, or to take hold of. So you have to have a strong opinion, which is what faith is, strong opinion based on the word that I have seized it the moment I prayed. I prayed, this is mine. I don't care what it looks like. Okay? You have to believe that it became yours the moment you prayed. Not when my body tells me. Not what my bank account tells me. Come on. Not when my circumstances finally change. But when I prayed, my opinion became, I have it now. I have it now. If it's by faith, your problems can say whatever they want to say. They can. There's no rule against them not saying whatever they want to say. They can say whatever they want to say to you. Your issues can say whatever they want to say to you. Your problems can say whatever. Your bank account can say whatever it wants to say. Your body can say whatever it wants to say. Come on, the world can say whatever it wants to say. Okay? But here's the thing. If it's contrary to what God's word teaches, it is an illusion in your life that you have to decide whether you believe or not. The truth, the real truth, is what God's word says. I mean, your body can look at you and be like, sick, sick, sick. And it does. But the truth is, if you'll close your eyes and stop listening to it and stop looking at it, you'll hear, healed, come on, healed, healed. Your bank account can tell you, poor, poor, poor. But if you'll close your eyes, come on somebody, and stop looking at it, you'll start hearing, blessed, blessed, blessed. Come on. You might be walking around, I'm depressed. Depressed, 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 depressed. But if you'll close your eyes and stop looking at how you feel, come on, you'll start hearing joy, joy, joy. Hallelujah. Come on, you can say, well, I mean, listen to me. I can walk in here. I've been walking in here and working a lot for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, trying to make changes and fix things. And I can walk in here and I can think about, you know, empty. But if I close my eyes, come on somebody, and I start listening to what God has to say on the inside of me, I start hearing full, come on, full, full, full. You might be looking at your spouse, encouraging me like it's bad, 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 bad. Your spouse might be a jerk, 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 jerk. Selfish, selfish, selfish. But if you'll shut your mouth, come on, from saying all the things you already see, and close your eyes and look to see what God's saying, you'll start hearing bliss. Come on, bliss, bliss, bliss. We stop saying what the illusion is saying. We close our eyes and we stay focused on the truth, and we grab hold of that and we believe that it's ours. Not when it gets here. We believe it's ours now. Yeah, but no, the truth is what God says. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm sticking with. When you believe, you receive it now. Look at what Jesus says. Believe, you receive when you pray, and you will have it. That just completely went over a lot of your heads and hit that wall back there. You believe it's yours now when you pray. You believe, you receive that it's yours now when you pray. Now look at what Jesus said. You do that, and you start saying, I have it now. I start saying, I have it now, now. I start saying, I have it now, right now, now, not tomorrow, now. I have it now. If somebody asks you, how's that going? I got it. It's mine. It's now. Somebody says, how you feeling? I'm healed. Yeah. When? Now. I'm healed now. Well, you don't look healed to me. I mean, the thermometer still says your temperature's 103. I'm healed now. You could state the obvious if you want to. What good's it doing you? It isn't helping you, is it? How's that expansion project coming? It's awesome. It's big. It's huge. And it's ours now. Ooh. Well, have you bought property yet? Nope. But it's mine. I have it now. I mean, have you hired all the people you need? Nope. But they're ours. We have them now. We have the best. We've hired the best. Come on. I have it now. I have it now. Yeah, but you don't. Yes, I do. Listen. A few weeks ago, my mom and dad were here, and I had them share on a Wednesday night about their journey. And my mom went through that. My mom had an incurable skin disease and blood disease, and it should have killed her. And when they got to the point where medical, and my mom just looked at him and said, we don't know really what else to do. I mean, we can keep trying to do what we're doing. Hopefully, it's going to work. And my mom just looked at him and said, if you're not able to help me, then I'm done. And people would come over to the house, and they would see my mom, and they'd say, how you feeling, Nancy? And she's all swollen up like a balloon. Her skin's burst open. She's bleeding all over the place with these patches all over the place. And she said, and they go, how you doing? And she goes, I'm healed. And people, you could see them just go, oh. That's right, girl. You just keep on. And then you'd see him walk away just going, bless her heart. No more in faith in the man. And, I mean, she just, how you feeling? I'm healed. When are you healed? Now I'm healed. Now I'm not I'm going to be healed. Notice that. I'm not going to be healed. She'd say, I am healed now. I'm healed. Now people make fun of Word of Faith people for doing that because they go, well, they act like there's no problem. No, we're keenly aware of the problem. But we're more keenly aware of the answer. And I'm not denying that there is a sickness trying to attach itself to my body, but I'm healed. Amen. Come on. I've gotten, how's it going at work? Great. My boss loves me. Well, does he really? By faith, he does. Why? Because that favor follows me, come on, everywhere I go. All week long this week, and I don't know how many of you know, and I hope she's okay with me telling this, but Taylor got her job on Friday. But now all week long, she's quoting scripture that says, God gives me favor. Now what are we talking about here? She walked into an interview with somebody she's never met before, only talked to on the phone, and they don't know why they like her so much. Before she even got there. Come on. Now, once you meet Taylor, it's obvious. Come on. Why you like somebody. I mean, the personality starts to that. But see, she's believing that before she gets there. Come on, somebody. She's saying, I have favor now. Now. All week long, she said. I said that scripture all week long. Walked into the interview and got hired. Come on, somebody. So amongst us is the professor. Up at Valencia, this campus, right up the road here in Metro West. Professor Roberson. What are we talking about? I have it now. I have it now. Now, what have you, well, I mean, I have a hard time getting past the now and when it manifests now. And that's what faith is. And Jesus is telling us these words. If you'll believe, you receive. When you pray, you will. Now listen to me. Does the Lord lie? Has he ever said something that didn't come true? So if he says, if you will say, I have it now, while you're praying, his words, not mine, his words, you will have it. You will have it. Well, when's that's not for you to worry about. A lot of people sit and worry about, well, but I have to, listen to me. All you're supposed to do is believe you received when you prayed. It's not up to you to make it manifest. This is why it's hard for people to witness. They think they're supposed to be the Savior, too. You're not. This is why it's hard for people to lay hands on the sick. What if I lay hands on them and nothing happens? That's not your job. You're supposed to lay hands on the sick. Period. That's all you're supposed to do. You're not the healer. You're not the Savior. Well, guess what else you're not? You're not the provider of your needs. You're not the healer of your body. Come on, you're not the deliverer of your situation. Now, some people sit back and will take that to the extreme and just sit around and put their feet up, not do anything. That's not what he's telling us to do. When I believe I receive, what do I do in the meantime? Well, I just keep on doing what I'm doing right now. If I'm believing God to heal me, and I go out and say, I believe I receive, and I treat my body like garbage, well, God's going to heal me. I can do whatever I want. No. That's dumb. That's counterproductive. I'm saying I keep doing what I'm doing, and I'll take the steps and do the actions God leads me to do. Listen to me. God is not honored to respect or do anything about steps you take unless he told you to take them. That's back there on the back wall. He's not honored, or he's not expected to honor any steps or actions that you take unless he told you to take them. And so when you believe you receive a new, you know, I'm believing for a new job. I'm believing for a new job. Well, don't quit and slack off at the old one. I'm believing for a new job, so I'm just going to, you know, put my feet up on the desk and be Homer Simpson while I'm at the job now. Eat donuts and drink coffee all day. And do you really think God's leading you to do that? So he's not going to honor any steps you're taking. Come on. And what's going to happen when you go to leave there and they call your boss now? Well, I just won't put them on there. That's a whole message on integrity. I'm not even going there. But I'm just going to say this. Why would you change what you're doing if the manifestation hasn't happened yet? I believe I receive, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing until it shows up. If you're so sick you got to lay in bed and you can't get up and move, then you just lay there and just say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed, until you get up and walk. I mean, you've all been reading Brother Hagin's books, but I don't know how many of you know the story, and I'll close with this. He tells the story of being partially paralyzed with a heart, deformed heart, and just laying in the bed and was bedridden. And he's laying there, and he said, the only thing I could do is lay there and read the Bible. And even still, it would take me 30 minutes to turn the page because of my partial paralysis. Can you imagine that? You start on one side of the page, and you start to turn the other one, and by the time you finish, you're ready to turn the page. That's all he could do. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. You do all you can do. Sometimes it is that. But sometimes it's you keeping on the path you're on until God tells you to make a change. And he said, finally, one day the Lord said, you've been believing, and you are, and you've been saying the right things. He said, so are you healed? And he said, Lord, you know I am. And I believed I received it. And the Lord said to him, he said, well, sick people aren't supposed to be in bed, are they? Now, here's the difference. Some people would have just jumped up out of the bed and be like, I'm healed. You lay there and say it until the Lord instructs you. Listen to me. I've been in the services with the guys that have, you know, that call themselves healing evangelists. And they lay hands on somebody. And I know these guys personally. I know their personality. Okay? I mean, I'm not talking about people that we're acquainted with. I mean, I'm talking people I know, friends of mine. And I know that they're doing it for show. And they pick up the crutches and they run to the other side of the room. And they go, all right, come on, get up and walk over here. And I watched, I'm sitting right there where you're sitting. And the guy had surgery, and this other fellow took his brace off, and he's holding up his crutches, and he's going, the Lord is, you know, he's really stirring up the crowds, kind of like Steve Martin in that movie. Anyway, so he's, and he goes, come on, run over here to me. So the guy stands up, and you can tell he's excruciatingly in pain. And he's like, and he goes, you run over here to me. And so the guy goes, okay. Ah! And literally falls down on the ground. Now some people are sitting there going, what happened? I talked to my friend later. I said, what happened there? What happened there? He was no more told to do that than the man in the moon. That was his flesh. Just wanting to make a show for somebody. Now, his heart was in the right place. He was hoping to stir faith in people. But he didn't feel led to do that. But he did it anyway. And then made a fool of himself. And this is what I'm trying to get across to you. You believe you receive when you pray. It is yours. You need to be telling people that. It's mine now. Your confession is that. But you don't go out and change your actions until the Lord tells you. Brother Hagin said, when the Lord told him, he said, sick people don't lay in bed, do they? He said, no, sir. He said, well, then get up out of that bed. Now, this is the Lord talking. So now it's different than your, his body wanted to get up either way. Come on. He didn't want to lay there anymore. Your desire doesn't have anything to do with it. We all want to be healed. Come on, we all want to be blessed. That doesn't have anything to do with it. You have to find out what God's word says, confess it into your life, speak to the mountain, believe you received, and then you wait until God manifests it. So he said, I pulled the covers off, and I scooted my legs out, and he said, my feet fell out of the bed, and just like two chunks of dead wood just boom, on the ground. And I sat there, and you know, it's one of them big spindle beds, and so he said, I grabbed hold of that, and I sat there for a minute, and caught my breath, and he said, and then I grabbed hold of it with the other hand, and I stood up. And when I did, he said, there was no strength in my legs at all. And I'm just hanging by the, he said, and all of a sudden, it felt like 10,000 needles in my legs. The circulation was coming back to my feet for the first time in years. He said, I would have screamed and cried if it hadn't felt so good. He said, he stood there. He said, I believe I receive. I believe I receive. Lord, you told me to get up out of this bed. Now, see, the Lord's instructing him. What's happening? He's got a word from God. And as he's standing there holding on, he said, all of a sudden, something hit him on the forehead. It felt like warm honey being poured all over him. And he said, and the further it went down, the stronger he became. And he started standing. And by the time it got down to his feet, he stood upright, and he stood there under his own power. And he let go of the spindle, and he stood there all on his own, healed. Why? Because he believed he received when he was laying in the bed paralyzed. Come on. With a deformed heart. He believed he received him. When people would come to see him, and he would tell stories of people, they would come in, like where they were moving, and they put him in the back of the ambulance to transport him over to his other house. And he said, I would lay there in the back, and they said, son, if you want to, we'll drive around downtown. No, he hadn't been down there for a while. He said, so we went driving down, and we drove around the town square. Now, I've been to McKinney, and McKinney's one of the coolest little downtowns you've ever seen. They've renovated all these old, I mean, it looks just like it did back in the 30s. But they made all these old feed stores and stuff into restaurants and coffee shops. And it's a really cool little downtown. But if you've ever heard Brother Hagin's story, we're driving around. We're like, oh, my God, there's Kentucky Street, just like he talked about. There's College Street, and there's just like he's talking about. And we're there. And he said they drove around this town square. And he's looking out. And he's seeing, you know, there's Woolworths and all those kind of places. And he said something said to him out here, his mind. He said, take a good look at it, boy. This is the last time you're going to see it. And this, now listen, they had to put him on a gurney and put him in the bed in the back of this ambulance. Mountain's still talking. Come on, somebody. And he said, I clenched my fists and grabbed hold of the sheets that were on me. And he said, no, it isn't. This will not be the last time I stand down, I see this place, because I'm healed now. And he said the guy that was driving, the funeral home director who was driving, and he just said, oh, bless his heart. Drove him on to his new house, and they took him out. Okay? He believed he received, come on, when he prayed. And his confession matched what he believed he received when he prayed. But it didn't manifest until the Lord told him to get up, come on, off the mattress, and when he stood up on the word of God that way, his healing manifested. And then he says, I walked from my house down to the town square, and I stood on the street corner, and I preached the gospel to people and said, I don't care if any of you ever know that there's a heaven or a hell. I'm telling you that there is, because God raised me up and healed me to come tell you. What are we talking about? You believe, come on, you receive when you pray, and then you will have them. Don't be waiting on yourself to have them before you say you have them. You have them now, regardless. You have them now, no matter what somebody else says to you. You have the answer that you're looking for now, because Jesus died for it, paid for it, and said it's yours. And you can have it if you'll believe you receive right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you, Lord.